Given the level of familiarity that exists in connection with Thanksgiving, that's the holiday spelled with a capital T, it's surprising how little is actually known about Thanksgiving. That is, the act of giving thanks, spelled with a small T. Aspects of giving thanks, which might seem somewhat self-evident to Christians, nevertheless remain largely unknown to the unbelieving world. As is the case with so many things, this is one of those areas where we need the Holy Spirit to inform us as to what makes for proper thanksgiving. He is the one who has to answer some of the most basic questions about that activity. Questions such as, to whom are we to give thanks? When are we to give thanks? For what are we supposed to give thanks? Perfect answers to these questions are found in various portions of Scripture, such as Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where in the 5th chapter he says, "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Question number one, whom should we thank? The world has some particularly ridiculous answers for this question, answers which are illustrated or shown by some old sayings and actions. One such expression which the world might use when it perceives things to be going well is, "Thank my lucky stars." I'm assuming most of you have heard that expression. And if most of you have heard it, it means it's said with some frequency. And if it's said with considerable frequency, it's likely that somebody out there actually believes it. How sadly blind so many people are to think that the formation and alignment of lifeless stars has anything to do with the carrying out of daily activities, that they can govern the coming and going of welcome and unwelcome events. An action which reveals just how misguided some people are with respect to the giving of thanks is found in the knocking of wood. I don't know the origin of that odd ritual, but I've seen it followed somewhat religiously. I had an employer who would quite commonly knock on wood while speaking of something that was favorable or something to her liking, something that she thought went well. Seems as though the same medieval mentality which actually believed that gargoyles placed on the top of cathedrals could scare away demons is the same that suggests that by simply tapping on some lifeless wood, you can prevent negative things from coming into your life. Whom should we thank? Paul's inspired answer is, give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The proper recipient of our thanks is our Lord, our Maker, our Provider, our Redeemer, our King, our Comforter. He is the one who is to be at the forefront of our thanksgiving because He is behind every single blessing. Give thanks to the Lord, says the psalmist, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. It is the merciful God whom we are to thank, the one who demonstrated His mercy most forcefully and wonderfully and dramatically in the sending of His Son. Paul holds up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as the only means whereby human thanksgiving is and can be properly made, for Jesus is the only way to the Father. Even when the world does manage to say thank God, it's rather meaningless. It's unacceptable to God unless it is done so and spoken in connection with faith in His Son. For it is in the name of Christ that our thanks are appropriately made. It was His blood which reconciled us to the Father and purifies our prayers. Question two, when should a person give thanks? Might seem a bit ahead of the parade here, speaking of Thanksgiving a week in advance of the official event. And the world probably thinks along those lines, that Thanksgiving is somewhat reserved for the day that has been set aside for that activity, but even then one wonders just how many people actually bother to express thanks for things amid all the other activities that surround the tradition. I heard once of a pastor who came up with a theme for a sermon which was simply, think to thank. His observation apparently was that most people don't even think about it. Don't even think about thanking God for the countless blessings that surround us each and every day. And that, according to Scripture, is highly offensive to God. In the strongly worded opening section of Romans, Paul states that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven because even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Being thankless is right up there in the list of things which incur God's wrath. When should we give thanks? Paul answers that question with one simple word: always. He portrays the life of a Christian as one in which the act of giving thanks is an ongoing activity. And with good reason. God never stops governing. He never stops helping or blessing or providing. So why should we stop thanking? To thank God only on one day of the year, or even only at one time during a day, is to lose sight of his continuous grace and goodness. One hymn writer wrote, "Oh, may we ne'er with thankless heart forget from whom our blessings flow." It is proper to remain mindful of the one who remains mindful of us, filling our lives with so many thankable things. And what are the things for which we should give thanks? Perhaps of these three questions, that's the area in which our own minds tend to veer in the direction of worldly thought. For what should we give thanks? The world likely responds with something like, well, for those things that are pleasant, for the things that make me happy, for the things that give me joy. It's fine to thank God for things that bring us joy, that's appropriate, but it's far from a complete answer. Rather than answering the question with everything that brings me joy or happiness, Paul teaches us to thank God simply for everything. It's relatively easy to be thankful for the things that we like. It's quite common for people to be content when they sense that things are going their way, but that's only a part of biblical thanksgiving. Paul directs us to give thanks to the Lord even for the difficulties, the distresses, for the seeming negatives. For when he allows such things to take place in our lives, he's doing so from a standpoint of divine wisdom and care and deepest love for us. Thank God for the difficulties. Yes, they serve to strengthen us. Paul wrote, "We know that tribulation produces patience, and patience character, and character hope." Thank God for distress. Yes, it can help keep our attention focused on the heavenly joy that awaits us above the things of this earth. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Thank God for the seeming negatives. Yes, they really aren't negatives at all when they are kept within the context of God's overarching, broad plans for the people whom he loves. In 1 Thessalonians, we're told, "Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The big things, the little things, the pleasant things, the difficult things, even the painful things, are things for which we should thank the Lord already now. We'll be doing that in eternity. Yes, in one simple passage from Ephesians, Paul answers the central questions concerning giving of thanks. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To whom? God. When? Always. For what? Everything. As our traditional liturgy teaches us to say, it is truly fitting, right, and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places and for everything give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The hymn for this morning is hymn number 570, the first and the last three stanzas, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 8 of 570.